Welcome back to part three of our episode on overcoming barriers to mental health. I'm Hannah Stanley, host of On Social Health and Change, brought to you by Adler University. Joining us now is Joe Troiani, professor in Adler's Master in Psychology, specialization in military psychology program. He is also president-elect of the Illinois Psychological Association. Joe, thanks so much for coming in and being with me today. Can you start by explaining what prescriptive authority means, please?
Correct. Prescriptive authority is something new for the state of Illinois, but it's something that's been around for close to 22, 23 years. Prescriptive authority is the ability of specially trained and degreed psychologists to be able to prescribe psychotropic medication.
Okay. Whereas it's always been a psychiatrist.
Yeah, now it psychiatrist is a physician. The reality today is most psychotropic medication is being prescribed by non-psychiatrists, in part because of the shortage of psychiatrists.
So whereas you would have normally needed to go to a psychiatrist to get the medications for anxiety, depression, et cetera, this is now something that either your regular family physician or general practitioner can prescribe.
Correct. In fact, the majority of our primary care physicians are the ones that are typically prescribing anti-anxiety agents, antidepressants, or sleeping medication.
And these are doctors who definitely would have their patient's best interest in mind, but haven't gone through the training and the research and all that, the schooling on the mental health aspect.
Correct. They do get a rotation, so they get familiarization with a mental health, the psychological problems, the psychiatry, but they're not as well trained as a psychiatrist. And again, a psychiatrist is an MD who is specialized in psychiatry. And often they go for specializations in either adult psychiatry or child and adolescent psychiatry or geriatric psychiatry or a third specialty called addictionology.
All right. So now the thought process is to give the ability to prescribe to psychologists.
Who are specially trained.
Who are specially trained because they're already seeing their patients to provide assistance and guidance and help with their mental health.
Exactly.
This can be something that would just be an additional caveat to that.
And what's really interesting, this started over 20 years ago. The United States Army selected a group of psychologists and put them through specialty training to become prescribers. And again, the Army was experiencing a shortage of psychiatrists. So they trained a group of psychologists to be prescribers, and that started an examination of many psychologists would be in a very good position to prescribe with specialty training. And since then, we had two states, the state of New Mexico, the state of Louisiana, and now the state of Illinois, that has passed legislation that allows the prescriptive authority for specially trained licensed clinical psychologists.
Are there limitations on the types or amounts of medication that the psychologists who, as you mentioned, have been specially trained but are allowed or capable of prescribing?
And it really varies from state to state. I know the legislation, which was passed 2 years ago this June in Illinois, and is in a process of what they call rule writing before its implementation, does have some limitations. The limitations, of course, is to psychotropic medication. It is not for pain medication. And it's for adults, excluding senior citizens and excluding children and adolescents, at least at this point.
For Illinois' legislation. So those category of patients, categories, would then need to see psychiatrists. You mentioned that the Army at the time had a limited amount of psychiatrists. They had a shortage. Are we dealing with that now as well?
Yeah, and the military is still doing prescriptive authority. And it's also interesting to note that this is extending to federal lands. For example, First Nation or Native Americans psychologists who have prescriptive authority are able to practice in those lands or territories.
Interesting. So with the limitations that we've put on this legislation that's going through and the limitations that might already be in the other two states that have this enacted, is it easy or are there enough psychiatrists available for those categories of patients?
That is yet to be seen because there's overall a critical shortage of psychiatrists, and there's an especially critical shortage of psychiatrists serving populations that are in need. I'm talking about chronically mentally ill, those in socioeconomic statuses that don't allow them to afford a private psychiatrist, and especially in our poor communities. And when you look at our network of community mental health centers, which serve the Medicaid population, as well as the federally qualified health care centers, they're serving an at-need, at-risk population, and they're having a very difficult time recruiting psychiatrists, primarily because of the availability. So with the passage of the legislation, community mental health centers and FQHCs would be able to hire specialty-trained psychologists to be prescribers and see their psychiatric patients.
Why are they having a hard time? Are less people, are less students going towards psychiatry?
Yeah,
are they stopping with psychology?
Yeah. In the last couple of years, from what I understand, there are fewer people going into psychiatry as a specialty. And even in the past years, there have been residencies that remained empty because they were not able to recruit. But this is also reflective of the general trend where there's a shortage of physicians. In the United States, there's a growing shortage of physicians. Head of the pack, of course, is psychiatry, but we're also seeing a shortage of primary care physicians.
Is it possible that that's reflective of the malpractice insurance and legislation, things like that, where it was becoming a little bit cost prohibitive?
I would definitely say that's
speculating.
That's probably an influencing factor. But, you know, with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, we're actually seeing an expansion of people who now have access to care, and it's putting a higher demand on the system. And especially as we move more towards preventative care, not waiting until individual is physically so bad that they come to the emergency room to get their primary care. And in the state of Illinois, for example, the number of people who've been able to sign up for a Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act came in at 200% of what the target was.
They missed that then.
they
miscalculated.
Yeah.
So with more people than able to seek treatment who can afford the treatment,
right.
Now there's more people taxing the numbers that we've always had
exactly.
And have needed.
And especially those in what I call the Medicaid category. And they have to rely on federally qualified health care centers, FQHCs. They have to rely on a community mental health system. It's very difficult with a public aid card to find a private practice psychiatrist.
And you also mentioned that the prescriptive authority would not extend to geriatric patients. They would still need to be seen by a psychiatrist.
Yeah, or a physician.
Or a physician. And we have more geriatric patients than we have had in previous generations because the baby boomers are in that category now.
Yes, us baby boomers are headed in that direction.
I was trying to be very tender as I mentioned this. but there is at least a portion of the baby boomer generation that would be categorized as that.
Right.
And then be needing to be seen by either a physician or whomever.
Yeah.
And then we're dealing with Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera, because of that, because that's where they all are now.
Yeah. And again, somebody who's on Medicaid does have a difficult time in terms of accessing care, accessing mental health
care. Because of providers who will accept that?
Correct. A limited number of providers accept it. But the good news is we've seen an expansion of federally qualified health care centers, which have also established behavioral health as part of their component. And with the community mental health centers, with the ability to hire prescribing psychologists, they're going to be able to provide that service, which now for most agencies probably on a limited basis.
Okay, so now if Illinois, we can flash forward and say that they've passed this and it's gone and it's been enacted and everything, and that's all is wonderful. What then kind of training do the psychologists need to go through? Is it continuing education?
It's a combination of things. There are formal training programs. For example, I work with a licensed clinical psychologist who also has her nursing degree. She was a nurse for a number of years and then went back to school, got her doctorate in psych. And now she's going through a two-year program in New Mexico. And it's a specialty program to train prescribing psychologists. When she completes the program and completes the training requirements, she'll be in a very good position to go for the examination to become a prescribing psychologist. But definitely having 20 years of med-surg experience, she's doing pretty well with the program.
Yeah, she is the opposite of an underachiever.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So this would be something that the psychologist could then go through the additional training for. But it wouldn't necessarily be common. It's not like everybody's going to do this.
Yeah, there are what we call core undergraduate requirements, which are your basic sciences. Many of which would be taken as part of a, let's call it a pre-med curriculum. And then afterwards, of course, they get their doctorate degree, and this is postdoc education. One could do it as part of a master's degree in psychopharmacology, and there are programs that provide that, or through a specific training program like the program in New Mexico. I'm also proud to mention that the two prescribers that I know, one who has written a book recently, are both Adler grads.
Well, that's fantastic. Yay, Adler. Of course, the presenter of this program on social health and change. It is Adler University. And we thank them for that and for all of our fine guests each week. So as you mentioned, it is Louisiana, New Mexico, and then we're in the process with Illinois.
Correct.
Is this something that you foresee going nationally and based
absolutely.
On the...
Okay. Absolutely. Again, because of the growth of the healthcare system, the shortage of specialists, and also looking at the successful record. This program was successful in the Army. It is successful in Louisiana and New Mexico. A number of years ago, I had an opportunity to talk to directors of community mental health centers in rural Louisiana. And having prescribing psychologists have been a godsend, primarily to fill those slots that they were not able to recruit psychiatrists for, or there was an unavailability of psychiatry.
And based on people's insurance and reachability of their insurance, they might be able to access psychologists and not necessarily a psychiatrist. So it does allow them maybe more leeway with who they have access to.
And also a very important part of the agreement, the legislation, when a psychologist completes their training and they're in practice, they have what we call a collaborative relationship with a psychiatrist, which is good practice. I mean, most licensed clinical psychologists I know in practice work closely with, you know, one or maybe a couple of psychiatrists, especially if there's a need for hospitalization or if there's a need for medication.
Referrals.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I have colleagues who are psychiatrists who work closely with psychologists. So it's not an us or them, but more of a collaboration.
It's a whole teamwork.
It really is. It is what we refer to as an intradisciplinary team approach.
It seems similar to me, like a nurse practitioner physician relationship.
Yeah. In fact, in Illinois, we now have advanced nurse practitioners in psychiatry and mental health.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. In fact, one of the schools that has this advanced graduate program is St. Francis University in Joliet. And it's interesting to note that the director of that program is a nurse, an APN, but she's also a licensed clinical psychologist.
That is very interesting. So this is something that has become a little bit, definitely not more lenient, but they're allowing, with additional training, as you've mentioned, and very specific training, it is giving more people access to medications.
Exactly.
And continue.
Yeah, it's not a watering down of the service provider. The service providers are well-trained. and have the ability to also do what we call the psychological assessment. They're able to do the screenings. They're able to do those types of diagnosis as part of their evaluation. And then they have also the ability with the specialty training and passing the licensing exam to be able to prescribe.
And this is handled on a state-by-state basis because these
Correct.
Are state boards?
Yeah, this is handled on a state-by-state basis. And I know there are other states that are looking at this or revisiting it as they might have attempted to pass the legislation in the past, but I foresee this continuing to grow.
All right. So the legislation is actually going through the House and the Senate within each state,
yeah.
even though it's a medical board
yeah.
Recommendation.
And usually in the states, you have the psychological association sitting down with the medical association of the state, and in some situations, the nursing association. And they kind of hammer out the differences, just as some of these differences were hammered out here in the state of Illinois.
So many layers to this. How soon do you foresee before this becomes something that is commonplace in Illinois?
Well, I know right now we have a number of psychologists that are trained prescribers. Of course, they're not able to practice. Some of these psychologists have come out of the military. Mm-hmm. Some of them have gone for the advanced training with the idea that with the passage of legislation, they'll be able to
practice.
They're
ready to roll, yeah.
So there are people waiting in the wings, and the rulemaking should be resolved this year, and we'll see the launch of licensing in Illinois.
This is exciting. As you mentioned, it is Louisiana, New Mexico, and then very likely Illinois within the next, let's say,
this year,
several months to a year. So this is something that you as a patient can ask about, talk mm-hmm. to your either physician, your psychologist soon, or your psychiatrist.
Right.
All right, Joe, thank you so much for your time. It's so interesting to learn all this new information. This is stuff I wouldn't have known anything about prior to your visit. This is going to conclude our show. Please join us next week for our episode, Making a Better Generation of Athletes. Again, I'm Hannah Stanley, and this is on Social Health and Change, brought to you by Adler University. Please be sure, if you have not already, to hit subscribe so you don't miss a moment. Thank you so much for listening.